Richard Dennis joined us on Sports Byline USA, Hall of Fame former defensive end with the Chicago Bears, 12 of his 15 years. One more question about sweetness, Walter Payton, before I kick you loose here. When I watched him run, I always thought that one of the keys to his success was the fact that his first step was so explosive. Am I correct in that observation, Richard?
First and second, you know, it just you don't know which way they're going. You know, to hear the guy, his perfection. I mean, when you're facing a running back, a defensive guy, the first thing, what type of guy is he? Is he a rabbit or is he a bulldozer or what is he? Well, Walter was everything. You know, Walter would come and hit you with his forearm, hit you with his shoulder, and hit you with his right knee. Then he would kick his left leg back so you don't have anything to grab on. So he was believing in tackling guys. Don't let guys come to you. Take it to them. And once he set that standard on you, he'll shake on you. You know, you think he's going to hit you, and he'll shake on you, and next thing you know, you fall and you grab it. So as a defensive guy, you know, it's a tough task because, one, we don't want to be run over. Two, we don't want to be ran through. You know, and three, we got to get him down. So, you know, it's a team effort when you face a guy like that.
Buddy Ryan was your defensive coordinator, was he not?
Yes, he was.
And I say that, and I just wanted to make sure, he brought an attitude to the defense that seemed to be very complementary to the personality and the attitude of the players that played for his unit. So, is saying that, what is it that he did to mold you guys together to get you on the same page?
Well, you know, Buddy, you know, he had his favorite guys, you know, Dan Hampton and Mike Singletary, you know, Terry Smith, Gary Fensick. He really liked Todd Bell, you know, more so than Dave Dorson, obviously, there. And, you know, for him to, for you to get to know him, you know, you have to play well. Otherwise, he'd just call you, you know, number 95. He'd call you by your number. And once you get better, he still call you by your number, and sometimes he'll call you by your nickname. But, you know, the good part about him was that he gave the defense to the players, meaning that on first and second down, we made calls to what we saw there. I mean, that if an offensive team jumped in a red formation or I or brown or blue or whatever it may be, we wanted to jump into our best defense to the front that they was running and tried to put ourselves in a better situation. So he trusted his team to, you know, to make those changes out there. And that's what, you know, make players, when players come to be responsible for what's taking place, you willing to go another step, see, because he's giving you the team. He's giving you the game to play. So, you know, then we have to talk about it on Monday. But, you know, a lot of coaches today, they want to sell their system and think their system is big. Last I remember, if you don't have great ball players, yeah, I don't care how great you are as a coach, it ain't going to work.
You know, you mentioned some of those great players on that defensive unit, Fensick, Durison, Singletary. What was the glue that kept all of you together, and how long did it take to get the chemistry so you guys were an effective single unit as good as you were?
Well, you know, we were a young team. You know, it was my second year in the league when things really took place, my third year when we won the Super Bowl. I think that, you know, it started probably with the whole thing with the year before I got there, these guys put out a petition to George Halas. They wanted Buddy to be the head coach, and obviously George Halas brought Mike Dick in. And with that, the word was basically, Mike, you're the head coach, but you can't get rid of Buddy. Buddy could be there still coaching today if he chose to do that. And with that, you got two head coaches, so. The attitude with both guys is kind of going on, and, you know, you really kind of represent the guy that side you on. Yeah, you got a head coach, and yeah, the head coach is going to run, and yeah, Buddy's going to run it. So we was in great shape because if the Buddy ran it, then we got to run for Mike, too. And then when they both didn't get along and Buddy's blitzing and Mike don't want to run the ball and the team that we're playing could be worse than the run, you know, so they cussing each other out going at it. You know, one coach said, you know, you're not playing, the other one said you are, so. All you can do is basically, you know, stand beside the guy that you are at the end of the day. So they were kind of crazy and we was kind of crazy. I think the biggest part, we used to really compete with one another. We competed with position. I mean, linebackers, defensive back, you know, who going to play well that week? Then we go with, the individual thing, who played well. So it was always fun on Monday to sit and look at them and have Buddy, you know, critique things.
One of the other things that made, I think, the Chicago Bears so strong was the division rivalries that you had. You had Detroit, you certainly had Minnesota, and you had the Green Bay Packers in your division. Tell me, what was the favorite rivalry between the team, at least among the players? Who did you guys like to play the most? What got the best out of the Chicago Bears?
Well, the Packers always got the best out of them, but then again, you can say Minnesota and Detroit, too. I mean, those teams, you can say the season or how the season looked may not look so well, but those guys always played the Bears very tough. And, you know, the tough game is always the Packer game. You know, I can remember games that early in the year where, you know, we would always say, just don't stand around and pile because guys are knocking you out, you know, if you're standing around, you know, for whatever reason that they didn't like us and, you know, we didn't like them. So it was one of those games that, you know, when that week started, everybody was on high alert, you know, right after the game we played. Okay, the Packers, it's time, you know, we don't have to push anybody to get ready for that game, no matter what your situation is. You know, the injured gets off the injured list. You know, this is one that, you know, we live and die for.
Is there a particular game in that rivalry series against the Green Bay Packers that kind of sticks in your mind even today, Richard?
Well, you know, the first one that stuck in my mind, my rookie year, we played the Packers, and we needed to knock them out of the playoff. And Forrest Gray sitting there twitching his face, and it was so cold, and he used every timeout, and Mike used every timeout. You know, it was about 9 degrees, and it was about 48 below wind chill factor, okay? I'm a rookie, and I tell you, I prayed to God that I'd never see another day like that, but yet, you know, we needed to knock them out, and at that time, I realized, you know, there's nothing I can do about Mother Nature, and I realized how tough that rivalry was, and fortunately, I made it through, and from then on, I never had a problem again. You know, I can remember one that they beat us up there when the quarterback crossed the line in the early 90s there that they beat us on. But most of my career, I think I may have lost maybe one game or maybe two, if most, against the Packers for my entire career there.
Soldiers Field was always a home field advantage, particularly in the wintertime when it got real cold, like you just said, Richard. And I'm just wondering, when the warm weather teams came into Soldiers Field on a bitter day, did you see in them, could you sense in them that they could hardly wait for the game to get over and then get out of town?
Well, yeah, you see that. But, you know, if you give them something to get warm about, it can be, you know, it can go against you. So, you know, for us, that, our first few years when we was on the turf was great. But then when we went to grass, well, we lost footing. You know, we had home field advantage three years in a row after the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, the next year after the Super Bowl, we lost two games. After that, three. After that, four. And we had home field advantage throughout. And that's just how important it tells you that you got to win the first game. But first of all, you know, we didn't do right by the field position, you know, because otherwise when that ground frees up, you know, we're in trouble. You know, your defense, the people up front, I mean, they don't have traction, you know, and we don't have friction there. It's a bad case, you know. It's the guy that's running and the guy that's chasing is going to be tough when you get on those slippery grounds like that.
We only have a minute left.
So it didn't help us. Yeah, at the end of the day, I think, during the January season, not having traction there.
We only have a minute left, but I think when you look back on your whole career, what is the memory that stays in Richard Dent's mind the most?
Well, you know, all the different people that I had a chance to meet, and people say, you know, do you miss the game? I don't miss the game, but you miss that camaraderie with the guys in the locker room, and you miss the camaraderie of going out trying to be the best that you can be week in and week out, you know. nothing like, you know, that workmanship and anything in business, whatever it may be. You know, nobody can do anything by themselves. It's all about you and people, you know, and when you and people and the right chemistry of people come together, you can accomplish a lot of things.
Richard, I want to congratulate you on being a Hall of Famer, deservedly so. Fine 15-year career. Thank you very much for joining us here on Sports Byline.
I appreciate it, and I look forward to maybe talking to you a little later. When that book comes out, we can talk a little bit more.
You Thanks. Got it. Thanks a lot, Richard. Richard Dent with us this hour on Sports Byline. Won two Super Bowls, Super Bowl number 20 and Super Bowl number 29. As a matter of fact, he was the MVP for the Bears in Super Bowl number 20. That's when they beat the New England Patriots 46-10. He was a dominant player on a dominant defense. We'll take a break here as we continue across the country and around the world with you on Sports Byline.